What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of In the Heyday. I'm your host, Oliver Hayes, and I'm super excited to be back on the pod because it's been quite a while since I recorded one of these. It's been about 3 weeks or so, and the last time I did an episode, I was talking about the Big 12 Championship Tournament and how I thought the Buffaloes would do with their first round matchup against Oklahoma State and the rest of that tournament. Spoiler alert, they lost to Oklahoma State in that first round. Had a pretty disappointing end to their season. At that point, it was their end of the season, but since then, they have gotten a bid to the college basketball crown. They'll play the Oklahoma Sooners tomorrow, April 1st, at the point of this recording. It will be tomorrow. But on April 1st at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, the Buffs will play in the college basketball crown at 6 p.m. If you want to listen to a little preview about that and kind of more thoughts about the season, I wasn't on In the Heyday, obviously, but me and Adam recorded an episode of Buff Stampede Radio about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, just about our thoughts about the season, and rewind, negatives, positives, previewing the Oklahoma game, like I said. But we also talked about the future, and honestly, the future came a lot quicker than I expected. It started with Australian commits, Alex Dickerson and Gosh Malwal, a guard and a forward, where the Buffs were oversigned. They had two guys to hit the portal. We were like, oh my God, who could it be? Well, Isaiah Johnson was the first one. And that was the biggest piece the Buffs had hoped to keep. He hit the portal. Then the day after, Barrington Hargreaves announced that he would stay in Boulder. Along with the school, it was reported, I reported as well, that the AD of the athletic department, along with the new director of athletics, Fernando Lovo, are planning to double their spending for the Colorado men's basketball program. That's all that they share. That's all that I know. So that's pretty vague. But with Hargreaves being the first piece of that, and some other things, you can imagine, there's some implications that I'll get into later in the episode. But either way, in the next 2 days, the Men got Dax Pastrnak, end up announcing plans to hit the portal. So a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things to talk about. It would be a very different team that we'll see in Las Vegas without three of their top four players. We may see UT Riverside, Barrington Hargreaves tomorrow on Fox Sports 1, which, could be fun. He had some 40-point games out there, average 20 points. So some vintage Barrington maybe on the way tomorrow, but we're not talking about that. We're going to be talking about we're going to be talking about Barrington, but we're going to be talking about the transfers, the commits, and stuff like that heading forward. So we'll try and make it quick. We'll try and make it concise. I know I let these episodes drag on, but we'll try and do what I can. We'll do that by starting with Isaiah. He averaged 17, 3, and 3 this year. Obviously, rounded those numbers a little bit, but was an all Big 12 honorable mention. Happened to miss out on the Big 12 freshman team just because the freshmen were so talented across the conference this season. But nonetheless, with that all Big 12 honorable mention, showed how highly regarded he was across the conference, and leading the Buffs in scoring and playing over 30 minutes per game. He was one of the Buffs' leaders. He was named a co-MVP at the team's awards alongside Barrington Hargreaves, and his teammates gave him the respect very early on. In Australia when he had the game high 19 points. And early in the non-conference play when he was literally helping the Buffs to wins, in that Montana State game. Obviously, there are a few performances in that game that helped the Buffs win that game, but 24 second half points wasn't going to come from anybody random on that team. It was going to come from Isaiah Johnson or a select few others, and it came from Johnson that night. So, obviously a very impactful player, and the guy that the Buffs wanted to keep around the most. From what I heard, Fernando Lovo and head coach Tad Boyle were doing everything in their power to keep him around. Reports on the internet from different people have matched that, saying that the offers for Isaiah were competitive, so it doesn't seem like it was necessarily a money thing. It seems more of just, what type of program does Johnson think he can play at? Because, personally, I think he can play for any program in the nation. It's just more so about what type of role he'd be assuming. Because obviously top programs in the nation are recruiting a bunch of guys like Isaiah to come play for him. Isaiah just, at this point is a lot more proven given that he led a Big 12 team as a freshman. So I think he could end up out of blue blood or something somewhere along those lines. I think that's the only reason why someone like him would hit the portal if Colorado is giving him offered the bag that he would want. I don't believe it makes sense for him to be like, yeah, nah, let's just see what's good elsewhere. I don't know. I don't know the reasoning, but I'd have to imagine that he was going. He would want. He just has his eyes on bigger things. So yeah, I think that's why he went. I think, in terms of where he may end up, it will be, one of those blue bloods or just, one of the, just, a very, very competitive team in the nation. So could very well end up within the Big 12. Definitely a top Power Four team, a team that will be, a Sweet 16 team next year, is where I think we'll probably end up. But of course we'll have to see. I'll talk about, kind of what him leaving will do for the program along with Dak and Rancic once I kind of finish up with them. Looking at Rancic first before Dak, though I'm kind of pairing these two together. Obviously different players. Rancic at 6'11", not as athletic as Dak, vertically, but very mobile, can move quite well, a very smooth shooting stroke. Even though he didn't shoot the ball as well as he'd hoped this year, only 33% from beyond the arc. Didn't have the most efficient year, only 40% from the field. But Rancic can do pretty much anything on a basketball court. He can defend. He can rebound the ball, as he showed with multiple double-digit games down the stretch of the season last year, this past year. And when he could get going, he could score from all three levels. He could light up three. He could score through contact. Hit it from the mid-range in the post. He could do a number of things. So I think he will also end up at, I don't think it'll necessarily be at, a place where Isaiah will end up, but I think Rancic will probably is just looking for a new scenery, I think. And will likely stay along in the Power Four alongside Bangad Dak, like not playing with him obviously, but staying in the Power Four conferences along with Dak, because Dak, looking at him, slightly, a different player, a little bit taller, like I said, more vertically athletic, than mobile, but he was catching lob and swatting shots instead of, putting the ball on the deck and guarding perimeter players, but still, very, very mobile for a big man. Smooth handles, smooth jumper that didn't really come to fruition in a productive way in Colorado. Dak, the longest tenured Buff, the only dude from the 23-24 season, suffered an injury this past off season, which kind of limited maybe a potential leap that he was hoping to make from his sophomore year to his junior year. But still averaged, I believe it was 12 points, 6.5 boards, and a block and a half per game. So, still had a good year. Rancic had a good year himself. He had 11, like I believe it was 11.5, 5.5 boards and 2 assists per game. So these two, had great years, and I believe, like I said, we'll end up in the Power Four. But I think with these two in comparison to Johnson, I'm not sure if Colorado was necessarily matching the same amount of money that these guys will be seeing from the school that they end up at. And the reason I say that is because with Barrington Hargreaves staying in Boulder, and that being the first part of the Buffs extending, wanting to double their spending, assuming that's the case, I think that if they could match Isaiah and they could pay Hargreaves, then they could have paid either of these two if they wanted to. Maybe not both. Maybe not all three, along with Isaiah, Rancic, and Dak. So, maybe if they're matching, if they're like, yeah, we'll match Isaiah, we're not, and don't have the money for Rancic or Dak, then that shows, where they align in Carter's eyes, and that forced Rancic and Dak to leave. I don't know if that made sense necessarily, but if the Buffs could have the money to match Isaiah and pay Barrington, and they're planning to double the money that they have, and that was just the first part, then I think that they could have paid Rancic or Dak, and that there may be higher sights. And this is more optimistically thinking, just for the program. Rancic and Dak, they have incredible upsides. I've talked about their all-around aspects and what they can do at the forward position. So I think, like I said, they'll be at Power Four programs. But there was some stuff left on the table in terms of, the efficiency from Rancic, the interior play from Dak. There was still, you know, questions about his frame and whatnot, and how he would bang along with the Big 12's premier big men. And so, you know, while I think that it would make sense for those guys to, in some senses, to want to have some new scenery potentially, I think part of it could be financially related, just in terms of the Buffs have money and they want to make sure that the guys that they're getting, that they're playing, are 100% gonna produce and gonna be able to bang along in the front court, because the Buffs are already gonna lose Elijah Malone, so they're gonna have a slightly different backcourt, but or front court, excuse me. But Sebastian Rancic and Banga Dak, along with, you know, Taka Fawaz, who's expected to stay at this point, that didn't get the job done. So what would necessarily make you think that paying those guys would get the job done next year? If you're going to have more money and you could potentially pay these guys, you may want to try and spend it elsewhere. I don't know if that's the case, but that's just my optimistic thinking for the future of the program, because if this was something else, like the Buffs said they couldn't pay them, I mean, shoot, the Buffs are going to be in a tough spot in doubling the spending. I mean, then what does that mean? So I think there could be some optimistic implications based off, you know, these entries and announcements and stuff, and you know, Barrington deciding that, you know, he wants to stay in Boulder. Because you know, like I said, with Barrington staying in Boulder and being a part of the spending, that shows what the Buffs are willing to spend, what they can spend, what they think they can spend on the rest of the roster to be competitive. So I believe there are good signs still with, you know, the portal entries and Barrington staying. And you know, I've pretty much already talked about that, so I guess I'll get into some of, you know, who else I think will stay. At the moment, all 12 other Buffs besides Rancic, Dak, and Johnson are planning, are going to be in Vegas. They're already in Vegas. You know, it's Tuesday and they play tomorrow, so they're already in Vegas. You know, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily not going to enter the transfer portal. Of course, it's still a week until the portal opens. There were guys last year like Harrison Carrington that had already hit the portal, you know, who still got run in Vegas last year in the crown with the Buffs. And then I think like a guy like Asanjo's open and RJ Smith, like those guys, like they played and then hit the portal. So, you know, there's still room for guys to leave. There's still room for a guy to come in at the moment. Now, after three portal entries, despite the two commits, there's, you know, with that math, a portal or a roster spot is now open, which the Buffs will now look to fill. But in terms of who will stay, I think, you know, it's nice that, you know, Nate Tomlinson has the big GIF right here in the GIF, whatever you can pronounce it. It's nice that he has in the comments, because part of what he posts on his Instagram story a few days ago makes me think that Isaiah Johnson, he's the big one who's in the portal. It makes me think that Josiah Sanders and Jalen Holland will stay in Boulder alongside Hargreaves, because, I don't know, there's a little, like, photo shoot type of thingy. And Hargreaves was the first one in that little photo shoot, and then the next two slides were Josiah and Jalen. So I think that they'll likely stay. They were posted in like a CU Buffs men's basketball post on multiple social medias for like the, I forget what today's called, but today's like the giving day for donations specifically, that they're like, oh yeah, Buff Nation, like everyone donate today. So I believe that, you know, now is probably a part of, you know, trying to double the spending and whatnot. Whether that's working, I don't really know. But either way, the Buffs keep endorsing those two specifically, you know, whether it's the coaches or the program itself. I believe that those two are likely to stay around. I haven't heard anything specific or whatnot. Barrington's the only guy that's official. But I'd like to bet that those two would stay. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. I mean, the rest is up in the air. I've talked about how I think that, you know, there's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Felix or Andrew Crawford or Alone McKaylee, guys that, you know, Crawford and Felix, you know, didn't have, you know, it doesn't seem like Crawford will have a chance to break into the rotation with the guys in front of him. Felix didn't have the year that he had wanted and fell completely out of rotation. McKaylee, there were times where I wasn't sure if the communication was correct, but now, of course, there's a lot more room in the front court. And there were times, especially early on in the year, as a, you know, coming from the Israeli pro leagues, that he showed, you know, how polished his game is, what he can get to his right hand. And so, you know, I'm not sure if he'll necessarily have you know, the likeliness of leaving that I had initially thought. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who comes, who goes, you know, in the next few weeks. But, you know, to wrap up the pod and talk about the for sure, who's incoming. We know that Alex Dickerson, oh goodness, we got music on this. But Alex Dickerson, the 6'4" guard, is one of two Australian commits for the Buffs. It's hard to kind of gauge, you know, these guys and how talented they are, because of course I'm not from Australia. I don't know Australian basketball like that. You know, I know the NBL. You know, I know that LaMelo Ball played in it a few years ago, and some other recruits have done that in the past few years, but you know, and I've seen, you know, some of the numbers that like JaVale McGee puts up or whatever, even though I don't think they were the most productive. I don't even know if he was playing the NBL one. He may have been in the Chinese league. I forget. Anyways, I don't know much about Australian basketball is what I'm trying to say, if that wasn't evident. So I don't know necessarily about, you know, how school ball looks, how NBL one East talent looks, how NBL talent looks necessarily, you know, but at the U19 FIBA World Cup level, Dickerson didn't do too much. He only averaged like 4.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, like 2 assists, nothing too crazy in that tournament, where McKaylee was one of the best scorers and rebounders. So do with that what you will. But in Dickerson's school games, at 6'4", I mean, if you haven't been watching the highlights, his jump shot is smooth. He seems to be a capable downhill driver, can score in the mid-range. I'm not sure if this highlight tape has shown any of his post-fades, but on his Instagram reels, bro, he has post-fades galore. It's crazy for a guard. And so he seems quite the talented scorer, has a nice floater, nice touch, seems to have smooth pace and a tight handle. And, you know, it seems to then make him, like it did Isaiah, a dangerous playmaker. And it's back, you know, the scoring and playmaking stats are backed up by what he has done in the NBL One East. He averaged, it was like 11, 5, and 4. But in his school, Lake Ginninderra College, in their school championships or whatever this past December, this dude averaged 26, 15, and 10. So not only was he scoring the ball, playmaking, but he was grabbing rebounds as well. And, you know, we'll have to see if the video ends up getting this far before I switch over to Malwall. But he offers a defensive upside too at 6'4" and be able to move, as well as he displays. He seems to be a decent shot blocker. Can, you know, get his hands on into the passing lanes, onto balls as a help defender and stuff like that, alongside his rebounding. So a lot of all around upside for Dickerson, as you know, the like I said, I forget if it was 22, 15 and 10. With Lake Ginninderra, and then those numbers alongside in the NBL One East. So some very fantastic eye-popping numbers. And he shot, you know, along with the, you know, talking about a shooting, he shot in the mid-30s on over 3 attempts per game from the three-point line. So, you know, just like I said and keep saying, a lot of things to enjoy. And when you look at his averages at Lake Ginninderra, I don't know necessarily, like I said, I don't know much about Australian basketball, but in my research, that specific school has produced a decent amount of NBA talent, like Patty Mills, Dante Exum. I think like Andrew Bogut went there. You know, I know he's currently in Australian basketball news for, you know, other reasons. But anyways, you know, different NBA talent has attended that school. And like looking at a dude like Dante Exum, who's played, you know, more recently in comparison to names like Patty Mills and Andrew Bogut, Exum averaged 26-8-8. Or 9-8, like 26-9-8, in that same, you know, Australian school tournament that I was just talking about, where Dickerson averaged 22-15-10. So, you know, very comparable stats for, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily comparable guys. I you know, as being 22, Dante Exum to me was the guy who was signed to the same agent in NBA 2K15 in my career. That's really all I knew about him. I didn't know too much, if I'm being 100% honest. Exum appeared more athletic. Obviously, I've been in better numbers in the FIBA U19 World Cup, you know, over a decade ago back then in 2013 than what Dickerson did in 2025 in that tournament. But you know, with those, some of those averages, you could imagine that there is some parallel, a decent bit of upside in that comparison. For Buffs fans, they can hope that this can be something of a replacement for Isaiah Johnson, and can maybe just basically see what happens, I guess. Especially with seeing if Dickerson can replace Isaiah, and seeing if Malwall can then replace more Bangot Dak than Sebastian Rancic. From what I've seen, Malwall is pretty raw. Like, I read this one article about him, and I think it said that he started playing basketball when he was only 11, so a little bit later than a lot of kids nowadays. Quite athletic, 6'9", somewhere around there, and he seems to be a little bit more built than Bangot Dak. So he seems like he can bang around inside a little bit. He seems to me, his defense stands out the most. Like, he's long in some of these clips. He's guarding on the perimeter, but he's also swatting a lot of shots. And, with the Buffs defense and how poor it was last year, if you can have that versatility, especially in the pick and roll, to be able to switch or hedge or blitz or play drop coverage, whatever you need to be able to do, depending on the coverage, like, it is huge to be able to have a guy like Malwall, who seems to be as versatile on the defensive end. And then, with how well he's able to rebound, as they're, I believe they're highlighting in the video right now. It should be pretty exciting, for the front court, which also struggled to rebound in the Big 12. Just like more so due to frame and physical limitations than any effort or anything. Because Sebi, like Sebi showed some rebounding prowess down the stretch of the season. BD had some double digit rebounding games and some double. Double-double performances. So, those guys showed that they could do it, but more often than not, they were struggling. And Malwall, he it's not like he's put up the most eye-popping numbers. I believe in the FIBA World Cup alongside Dickerson, he only averaged 8 points and 7 rebounds or something like that. Being a starter. And the NBL 1 East, he only averages 11 and 8 rebounds. So nothing too crazy, but with what he can bring on the defensive side of the floor, with what I've talked about, just seeing how his game could evolve playing in the college game versus at the international and more professional level, especially seeing him now with the Sydney Kings, he's not playing too much, being at the bottom of the rotation. As you can probably see in a lot of these highlights, he's playing a lot of garbage time. His averages aren't anything crazy, but very talented dude. Due to his physical ability and his motor and want to do the gritty things on the hardwood. So personally, I think two big pickups for the Buffaloes. Honestly, that was it was a little bit whenever you recruit a position and oversign in the first place, that kind of puts writing on the wall, the same way it did in the before the 23-24 season, when the Buffs oversigned, then, and the Buffs knew that some different guys were gonna have to hit the portal. I believe it was then, right? Unless it was last offseason, right? Yeah, the Buffs oversigned, right? The Buffs oversigned in, I don't know. I may be confusing that. I'll have to look back at my history. But either way, whenever a guy is oversigned, whenever a program oversigns with players in specific positions, then writing is on the wall that position is isn't it's said that it indicates that position isn't doing what they need to do, I guess. And obviously you need to recruit guys for the future and whatnot, so it's not always what it means. But, when you look at these highlights and what these guys can do, I wouldn't think that either Dickerson or Malwall would commit to a place where they don't think that they would, have some sort of place to play. in some sort of role that they'd be taking on. So I did kind of think that, you know, they were coming in to do some sort of replacing. I didn't necessarily think that that would mean that Isaiah, Rancic, and Dak, all three, would end up hitting the portal. I didn't. That was probably my least of all the things that I expected to happen. That was probably the least, but you know, it is what it is in the new day and age of college basketball, and just college athletics in general with NIL and the transfer portal and all that jazz. So yeah, it'll be very interesting to see, you know, what goes on and what these two can eventually bring to Boulder in replacement alongside those guys, you know, in replacement of the dudes who hit the transfer portal and alongside Hargreaves and the guys who I expect to stay. And you know, there isn't much to, you know, gather from the transfer portal, but I mean, I guess just for fun before we sign off, Isaiah Johnson currently ranked the number 6 overall transfer in the portal by on 3. Sebi was a little bit lower. Yeah, number 28. Interesting, interesting. And like, okay. I'm having some thoughts as I'm looking at this that I didn't have earlier when I was looking at this. But then BD at number 41. So, you know, fun to see where those guys are landing. But there are a few names I want to highlight real quick in terms of who I think the Buffs could have their eye on. Just wild guesses. I haven't heard nothing, I'm telling you. These are just wild guesses. First off, we're gonna go with Bay Ndongo. I don't know how I think I don't know how you pronounce it. My apologies if I mess it up. But he's a junior big man, 6'9", 220, ready to force for a transfer. He was at Georgia Tech last year. He put up pretty good numbers, specifically rebounding the basketball. He's from, I think he only spent a year or two at Colorado Prep. Like, I'm not sure. I don't think like he has too many crazy ties to Colorado, specifically. But either way, went to Colorado Prep. I looked at his Instagram, and Josiah is following him. I mean, because you know Josiah did go to Colorado Prep, so I just say my early eye is on him. I'm also like, you know, I do also get interested whenever there's like an in conference like transfer, like, because I look down and like, you know, Sebi. You know, he's 28, right behind Keanu Dawes. Be interested to see where Dawes ends up. Being from Houston, some of my Houston boys think he could end up at Coug, but you know, we'll have to see. But part of the reason I brought that up is like Kwame Evans. Obviously, you know, he's rated pretty high. You see that NIL value is crazy, but you know, he's someone who the Buffs played against 3 years ago in the Pac-12. So you know, could be something interesting there. Of course, Christian Hammond, Julian Hammond's brother, is a name that's popped up. He was the leading scorer for Santa Clara on March Madness team this past season as a redshirt sophomore. So I would say that's a name to keep an eye on as well. But then also the other name that popped up just when I was looking, you know, down here. I know some people have looked at, and I guess, you know, another name that made me think of the Big 12 thing was Isaiah Hartwell when I saw that he was entering. But either way, looking in this stretch of names still, with Dawes and Rancic, with looking at number 29 with Kyle Evans, I know some people on the On3 board have highlighted him. So, you know, definitely. I mean, did I say UC Riverside? I don't know. UC Irvine, excuse me. I don't even know if I said nothing. I'm just talking too much at this point. But either way, I watched a little bit of him in the conference tournaments. Yeah, impressive. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether or not, you know, what noise he gets. I know Joel Foxwell. He was a guy who was on I think he was on that Australian. Nah, I think he was on the Australian national team that the Buffs played against. If not, his brother was Owen. I forget. Either way, Australian connection with all the Australian commits and Nate Tomlinson and all this stuff. You know, interesting to see there. But then the other name, I guess, is wait, is he might not be. on here. We'll see. But Jaquay Randolph. Ah, here he is. He's ranked number 80 in the portal. He's a D2 guy, so he entered the portal. Their portal's already open, I guess. So, yeah, he's been in there since, it says March 17th, so he's been in there for nearly, or I guess 2 weeks at this point. But reportedly, Colorado had shown some interest in him. That was another name. All these names starting to, you know, just ring out in my head or whatever. Looking at this list, it all started coming along. Joe Hurlbert entered the portal. Interesting. The return. I'm just playing. Maybe. All right, this has gone way too far. We're talking about Joe Hurlbert returns in the transfer portal. All right. I believe that is all. You know, I've talked, you know, the guys are in the transfer portal. The guys have stayed. Guys have committed. Yeah. Buffs play basketball tomorrow against Oklahoma Sooners at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. I'm sure that's going to be one of the most watched games of the week. Given the other college basketball games going on. And, yeah, I believe it's time to call it. Thank you guys for watching if you made it that far, or this far, excuse me. My name is Oliver Hayes with another episode of In the Heyday. I'm probably going to be back on the pod soon, with more recruiting news, when the portal opens up in the next week. I'll be, of course, you know, I'll be covering the game in Vegas. I won't be in Vegas, but I'll be watching, you know, from here, as Colorado takes on the Sooners. So I'll be doing that. So yeah, I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.